All right. Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour. This is Kent Hovind in Pensacola, Florida, and Jonathan Sampson at the switchboard, ready to take your questions. It is June the 17th, 2004, and we are the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of planet Earth. Didn't happen. You were created in God's image, and you're going to stand before God one of these days. Oh, there's the folders over there, John. Sorry about that. Didn't see them. Okay. What we're going to do is take a few questions that have been sent to us. You can AOL instant message us and get online right away with your question at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And we'll be glad to take your questions that way. Or you can call us at 850-479-3466, extension 136. 850-479-3466, extension 136, and we'll be glad to take your questions. So our position is God made the world in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago. It is not millions of years old, and you're going to stand before God one of these days and be judged for everything you've ever done or said or thought about saying or doing. It's going to be a scary day. Okay, let's see, what's new here? Well, we had a great day at MS Adventureland today. Did not rain. It sure threatened to all day here in Pensacola, Florida. We get a lot of rain, but we don't have to shovel it. We like that part. After living up in Michigan, going to school for a couple of years, and growing up in Illinois, I really like the rain. You kind of let it just run off all by itself. You got it in southern Illinois, too, right, John, when you were up there in the heavy rain and snow?
Yeah, we got a lot of that. I remember one year we had snow. The snowdrifts were 6 feet, maybe. Up in town, uptown, they were about 4 feet. So it was pretty bad for snowdrifts.
Now, define town.
I'm talking about maybe 3 or 4 little local buildings.
Yeah. Okay.
Mount Carmel, where I lived in Belmont, actually, had 250 people in there.
There you go.
And but we were real close to Mount Carmel, which had 8,500 people, which was huge. So.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's huge. Here we go. Joe Dern, D-O-E-R-N, writes in. I saw you on TV one night, and your talks made so much sense. I'm only 16, but I know what you were talking about, how we can get saved, that it's never too late, and it will help me be saved. And is this the one that you led to the Lord?
I got to speak to him. Actually, I came in to the office at 1 o'clock in the morning. This morning, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And I got on here and I just started checking the ministry mail, and I saw that one right there, and I was like, well, you know, I could put this off until tomorrow and wait to address it on the program, but this young man just sent the email in. So I went ahead and saw if he was online. Turned out he was. So we talked for about an hour, and it turned out he was just so excited. He's a brilliant young guy, very smart.
Good.
But he got saved.
Last night, amen. New brother in the Lord, Joe Dern. Happy birthday, Joe. I guess today would be your birthday. Write this down someplace. June 17th, 2004. Make your birthday into God's family. Write it down in front of your Bible, and because the devil's going to try to make you doubt. He always does that. He's been doing this for years. You just don't pay any attention to him. That's awesome. And anybody else that's not sure, you're going to heaven. Hey, give us a call. That's why we exist. We are a ministry to lead people to the Lord. Okay, here's one from LV, E-L-V-I, last name Franco, who writes in. I wanted to take this time to thank you. I'm 42 years old and have spent many years spinning my wheels. I own my own shop here in Toronto, Canada. I have sacrificed much over the years to maintain my own lifestyle, not to say I live in neglect of God. I've always known and loved God and His words, but up until 2 years ago, I realized my life was empty. I'm single, never married, I have 4 dogs, and many people consider me a recluse. It's not that I'm antisocial, but I will say that many people I know and talk to disappoint me. The two most important people in my life are my mother and father, but up until 1 year ago, I did not realize this. The economy in this country is not in the best of shape, more so for the small company of mine. I have worked so hard over the years and found that rewards are uncertain at best. My personal well-being is now the most important thing. Times are tough, and at my age, all I want is peace in the heart. All I really wanted to say is thank you so much, Dr. Hovind. You have given me so much. Your words and delivery of them are truly inspirational. It's been quite some time since I have cracked a smile or felt I could trust someone. All these years of being in survival mode has disappointed me in mankind. Also, friends who I thought were trustworthy have let me down. Let's see. I'm glad to hear you have a son who's taking up after you. I wish him the best of luck. In this world of uncertainty, he has his work cut out for him as I did. But I kept my nose to the grindstone and did not give up. Let's see. You're my friend. You, my friend, are truly a rich man, a man of much wisdom. And I'm so glad I found you. If you ever make it up to Toronto, I'd love to meet with you, Elvie. Well, thank you, Elvie. That's awesome. We have Carl Merrychurch on the line. This is awesome. Yes, can I hear him? Carl, you're there. Hello, I don't hear him on mine, John. Not coming to you. There we go, okay. Yes, Carl, you there?
You there, Mr. Hogan?
I am here.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
How are things in Australia?
Well, it's a bit cold at the moment. We're in winter.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
How can I help?
Also, yeah, you've gone daylight saving on me, so you're an hour earlier. So this is like 8 o'clock in the morning for me. So.
Oh, that's better.
I do apologize if I sound a little bit sleepy.
No problem.
Yesterday you laid down the gauntlet about speaking about what I claim on my website.
Sure. Pick a few subjects. Let's pick one at a time.
Which? All right. How about the Liar Liar Pants on Fire section? You mentioned that briefly in your response that you have on your website.
Okay.
Let's start with the 5/5/2000, the prediction that wasn't, because you mentioned that in your previous rebuttal.
Okay. What I said, just take one at a time. What I said in my seminar was there was a book out called, let's see, and I can go to the title of it here in a second. I've got the book somewhere in our library, which I'm sitting in the middle of. But I said that somebody was predicting that there would be, by 5/5/2000, here it is,
yep.
Jonathan found it. 5/5/2000, ICE, The Ultimate Disaster by Richard Noone, N-O-O-N-E, who is basically a New Age author. And what I said was, he is predicting that the population of the Earth will be reduced drastically in the May 5th of the year 2000. I'm reading from the back of the book. On May 5th in the year 2000, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn will be aligned with the Earth for the first time in 6,000 years. On that day, the ice buildup at the South Pole will upset the Earth's axis, sending trillions of tons of ice and water sweeping over the surface of our planet. Astonishing evidence points to worldwide disaster in our lifetime. Earthquakes, volcanoes, on and on and on. I never made any prediction of any such thing. I just said that a New Age author was predicting this. Now,
okay, you said in 1999... A lot of rich folks think that we ought to get the world population back down to 500 million in the next couple of years. Of course, they happen to be the 500 million that gets to survive. What they do not realize is the devil has tricked them into thinking that, and they are working real hard to do that, by the way. And then you say, when that happens, he's going to take care of them also. The devil does not want anybody here.
Okay.
You said that in 1999. In 1996, you said the globalists, the Counselors Committee of 300, has one of their goals to reduce the population to 6 billion, sorry, from 6 billion to 1.5 billion. There are too many people here that cannot be controlled to get rid of them. That is why AIDS was purposely developed in the Maryland laboratory to wipe out population.
Okay.
In the year 2000, you said they, that is the New World Order, want to reduce the population to 500 million, and their target date is May 5th. The demons who call themselves spirit guides have told them, you know you have to reduce the population by May 5th. May 5th is Karl Marx's birthday. Into the age of Aquarius, etc. I suspect they may use Y2K as an excuse to create some little problems here. We will have to wait and see. Now, it does not sound like describing what's written on the back of a book.
Are you saying, from what you just read, that I made a prediction this would happen and therefore I lied? Is that what you're trying to imply, Carl?
No, I'm not saying you made a prediction like Notre Dame or prognostication sort of thing. I'm saying that you were very serious about this conspiracy.
I still am.
Various forms of the claims of this conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
And when the conspiracy did not come through on the 5th of the 5th, you changed what you claimed to try and avoid admitting that the claims you made out of the year weren't accurate. That's what appears to be from the what I've read of your material.
The article is entitled Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. So you're saying that I, or whoever wrote the article, is it you or somebody else wrote it?
No, it's just my own work, yes.
Okay. So you are accusing me of lying. Now, I want you to go back and read slowly any of the articles that you mentioned about from my seminars from 96 or 99 and show me specifically where I lied.
No, no, no. That's not the lie. The lie is after the date, after the 5th of the 5th. You said your only claim was that it came from the book, 5/5/2000.
Okay.
Claim was a lot more complex than that.
Go back and show me in my claim before 96 or before the year 2000.
No, no, no. Whoa. No.
Carl.
I'm not claiming that you lied previous to 5/5/2000. I'm saying that after 5/5/2000, you've misrepresented what your original claim was.
Well, then you can't read, okay, because I never claimed it was going to happen May 5th of 2000. I said, this is what the New Age people want. You just read the quotes yourself a minute ago. I said, clear back in 96.
No, you did not say that that's what they want. You said it was going to happen.
Sure, go back and read the 96 quote again.
96, let's see, here we go. That's why AIDS was purposely developed in the Maryland laboratory.
Okay, I guess where did it talk about reduce the rich people want to reduce the population of the world?
That was the 1999
quote. Okay, read that one.
Let's see, a lot of rich folks think that we ought to get the world population back down to 500 million.
Okay, now slow down. You got it in front of you. I don't have the quote in front of me, but is that is what you just read, is that me claiming it's going to happen?
It gets further on.
Okay, keep going.
The final sentence is, and then when that happens, he's going to take care of them also.
Okay.
Devil does not want anybody left here.
Correct. I am saying that Satan is using some of these rich people. Their desire is to reduce the population. And yep. When they do reduce the population of the world, Satan will then wipe out them. There's no reference
probably
in there.
More, yeah.
There's Carl. Right. There's no reference in there to May 5th of the year 2000. I have never said May 5th of the year 2000 is when the population is going to be reduced. And you are the liar on this matter. I never made a prediction and I never lied about it.
Why on earth do you keep mentioning May 5th, 2000?
You're the one that's implying that I predicted it was going to happen by May 5th, 2000. I never did. You can't find that anyplace. I've still got the master tapes of all my... We've retaped my seminar probably 20 times. I can go back in the archives and listen to all of them. I have never made such a prediction and never would. But it is
the New World Order wants to reduce the population to 500 million.
That is correct.
May 5th, 2000.
Okay, that is correct. Now, let me go back and read the quotes that I gave. Okay, I've got them right here in front of me. Bill Clinton signed the biodiversity. Oh, here we go. Jacques Cousteau said in 1994,
yep.
Demanding accountability, United Nations Development Fund for Women, 1994, page 84 and 85. Jacques Cousteau said, and I quote, in order to stabilize world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people a day. Okay? And then I show Ted Turner's quote, where Ted Turner from CNN said, a total world population of 250 to 300 million, a 95% decline from present levels would be ideal.
Yep.
Now, that's a fact. Ted Turner said that.
Yep.
And then I quote, Charles Wooster of the Environmental Defense Fund, who said, people are the cause of all the problems. We have too many of them, and we need to get rid of some of them. And this ban of DDT is as good a way as any. Then I quoted Bill Clinton, who said, 1993, he signed the Biodiversity Treaty on June 4th of 1993, Section 9.2, 3 and 2 says, we must reduce Earth's human population to 1 billion or reduce the standard of living to an agrarian peasant status. That was at the platform of the United Nations Urban Economical Summit held in Istanbul, Turkey, of June of 96.
Yes.
And Clinton signed that. And I quote Peter Singer. That wouldn't apply here. Then I quoted Alan Gregg of the called Mankind at the Turning Point, 1974.
Right.
He was a longtime official in the Rockefeller Foundation. He said, the world has cancer and the cancer is man.
Yep.
And I quoted Prince Philip, the president of the World Wildlife Fund, who said, if I could be reincarnated, I would wish to return to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. Let's take a break here, Carl. Stay with us. But there is no place where I predicted anything's going to happen on May 5th, 2000. I said the atheists would, or the New Age folks would like it to happen. We'll be back, folks. Stay with us. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. And we have with us today Carl Mary Church, calling in from Australia, who has the website that's the first one that comes up. If you type in Kent Hovind, comes up after ours. And he has had what we call one of the anti-Hovind websites for a really, really long time. How long has yours been up there, Carl?
Gee, good 3-4 years maybe in various forms.
I guess I'm a little curious why you would do such a thing. I mean, is the creation message a threat, or do you have a...
Nice tautological argument you've got there. No, the reason I set up the website is basically this was back in the dot-com days, and I thought, gee, everyone else has got a website, why don't I? And then I thought, what sort of topic is there on the internet that hasn't actually been done before? And I realized no one had actually put together a complete Kent Hovind website. I knew a lot of your arguments had serious flaws in them, but no one had actually put the whole thing together in one spot. So that was the reason for the website.
Okay. Okay, now you're saying in your article, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, that I lied about the predictions of the population of the Earth being reduced, and I still have yet to see where I've lied.
Yes, there seems to be a bit of confusion about exactly where my disagreement is. My disagreement is not with what you said previous to the year 2000. It's what you said after regarding what you said previous.
Okay, what did I say after that does not jive with what I said before?
Okay, you said, the truth is, I showed a book of New Age, a book by a New Age author, 55-2000, that said many in the New Age movement say their spirit guides, etc., reduce the population, etc., by May 5th, 2000, when we enter the age of Aquarius, a man can evolve in the spirit arena, blah, blah, blah. Something about Karl Marx's birthday, and then some people in the New Age movement would like to have Earth's population reduced to 500 million by this date so we can enter the New Age of Aquarius. But you said, I never predicted anything would happen. But the intensity and the constant repetition of the claim over the years in various forms, anything from claiming that the Y2K had been involved in it, or that AIDS was purposely developed, and then you said the devil was... yes, they, as in the New World Order, are working real hard to do that, by the way, and then when that happens, he's going to take care of them also, unless the devil's going to take care of them also. There was an awful lot of emphasis on this 55-2000, and there was a great big thing that all your listeners had to be worried about, that there was this huge conspiracy amongst governments, etc., what if we had a council of 300 or something, which I meant to admit I've never heard of. They're all aiming towards this May 5th with the Karl Marx's birthday, age of Aquarius, etc. Now, that is my concern, that after it didn't come through, after it didn't come through, you then tried to backtrack from your May 5th claim.
Well, I don't think I've backtracked at all. Jonathan, you've been listening to his claims here. Of course, you're a little biased being on my side, but what am I not seeing, or what is he not seeing?
I don't know. I'm trying to keep up with you guys here, but... it seems like Carl Mary Church is basically saying that you quoted this person, this person, this person, basically that book, the 55-2000. But I don't know if Carl Mary Church is trying to misunderstand as you making
it. Jonathan, nothing to do with the quote. It has nothing to do with the quote.
Okay. So your complaint is that I backtracked after 55-2000.
That's right.
And claimed that I never said anything would happen. Okay,
you
have yet to go back and quote any of my quotes from previous to 55-2000 and show me where I claimed it was going to. I think I can show you hundreds of times where I said people in the New World Order would like this to happen. The New Age people would like this to happen. Richard Noon is predicting it's going to happen, the author of the book I'm holding in my hand. But no time did I ever say it's going to happen. So either you did not understand what I was saying or you are straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel.
1999, you said when that happened.
You don't get it in context then. Satan's plan was, I said, Satan's plan is to reduce the population to 500 million, and when that happens, he will then wipe out the rest of them. Satan hates humanity. Listen to the whole thing in context. That is not claiming it's going to happen on May 5th of 2000, Carl.
So
you're not
Satan
getting it.
Satan has no influence on this. I mean, Satan has no power. He has no way of making it happen.
No, you're missing the whole point. Satan would like to reduce the population of the planet to zero. He hates God's creation. He tried to destroy Adam and Eve. He tried to destroy everybody in Noah's time. He's tried numerous times to destroy humanity.
I seem to remember God killed everyone in Noah's time.
Well, that was actually water that killed him in Noah's time.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
They drowned.
Not the gun, it's the gun. Okay.
No, God did send a flood to destroy the world, and he's capable of doing that. He promised he wouldn't do it with a flood again, but he's going to destroy it again by fire. He promised he would.
Charming.
Yeah. Well, he hates sin.
Okay. All right. So I'll put, since you put such a vigorous defense on yourself here, I'll put a little note on. Oh, actually, I'll move it to a different section, the 55-2000, seeing that you feel that you've been seriously misrepresented on this one.
Oh, I think I've demonstrated that I've been misrepresented on that one.
Okay. How about the, we'll go up to lie number two.
Okay.
For those who are listening, you can come onto the website. It's in the lie pants on fire section. There's a little menu. We're into lie number two. Well, I think lie is a little bit strong word, but when I document that I believe that Mr. Hovind has misrepresented his position, I believe that's what I would call a lie. But I'm not trying to actually use the loaded word lie deliberately. It's just no other way of describing it. But, so we're in lying about chromosomes. Now, this is based upon Mr. Holland's article, The Possum, the Redwood Tree, and the Kidney Bean.
Okay.
Okay, now you make this little bit of humour here about the different numbers of chromosomes supposedly showing an evolutionary, or supposed evolutionary, evolutionary connection between organisms. You call it a spoof on evolution theory. And you go through, you start down with a little penicillin, then you have a fruit fly, and then you got the identical twins of the house fly and tomato.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of chuckle and humour there.
Right.
Okay, then you... But over the years, this little bit of humour has taken on its life of its own. In 1999, you said, I did some research on this, folks. I decided the more chromosomes you have, the more complex you must be, because it's the most complex molecule in the universe. You arranged a bunch of animals in a particular order, you know, based upon the number of chromosomes. I discovered that penicillin, I think that should be a little paracillium, a little... unicell organism, I believe is what you're trying to say.
No, no, not paramecium. No, penicillin.
Oh, okay. Has two chromosomes, fruit flies of eight. They're missing a few links there, 4, 5, 6, 7, blah, blah, blah. But then finally, once you get through all the list, you come down, why don't they teach the kids about chromosome numbers as proof for evolution? I'll tell you why, because it really goes against the theory. Well, no, no one ever claimed that it did go against the theory, and no one ever claimed that there is a connection. But anyway,
you won't
find that mentioned any place. Those are the facts, folks. Chromosome numbers does not prove evolution. That's all a farce, of course, and evolution itself is a farce. Now, you start off calling it a parody, then you try to semi-pass it off as fact. Okay.
Okay, now let's take one point at a time now.
Yep.
Is anything wrong with my chart of the number of chromosomes? Is it true,
yes,
for instance...
number of chromosomes is irrelevant to evolution.
No, that's not my question. Is it true, for instance, that cats have 38 chromosomes and apples have 34?
Nothing wrong with those numbers.
Okay, good. So you agree that I have correctly represented the facts as far as the number of chromosomes these organisms have, okay?
Yes, we have no disagreement there.
And
let me put it this way. I'm not sure if you got every single number correct, but it doesn't really matter what numbers there are.
Okay. I believe I have every number correct, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep.
Is it a fact that this is not what would be predicted by the evolution theory? Don't you think more complex life forms would take more genetic code and therefore have more DNA, more chromosomes, and more genes?
No, the number of chromosomes is irrelevant.
Only because it doesn't match your theory.
No, only because it doesn't match just to the way that DNA works. You can divide DNA up into 100 chromosomes or 10 chromosomes. It does not matter. Chromosomes are like suburbs. It's the genes that actually do anything. Chromosomes are just a bundle.
Okay, now slow down.
Organisms don't even have chromosomes.
Okay, let me ask you this then. If we had the total gene count instead of the total chromosome count, are you saying that you would predict that the total genetic information would be greater for more complex animals and lesser for simpler organisms?
Unique genes, yes, but a lot of organisms duplicate genes.
Oh, wait a minute, let's get that down. Let's get that down, Jonathan. Carl Mary Church is predicting that the simpler organisms would have less gene count, unique gene count, than more complex organisms.
As a general rule, but yes, I can't.
Okay.
I'm not a biochemist, so I can't comment on every single organism, but that was what I...
All right,
as an interested layman, that's what I'd predict.
So if I can show you then that an amoeba may have actually more genetic information than a multi-celled creature, maybe even a human, I think that has been demonstrated with the Genome Project that some... they're very baffled by the fact that I don't remember which one, but I think it was a fly that they said has more genetic information than a human, more gene count. So it is.
That would surprise me.
Okay, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know which that I have the right animal, but I know I have the right concept. It is not correct that the more genetic information indicates a more complex creature. So it is simply not correct. So the evolution.
Whoa. Are we talking about base pairs? Or are we talking about active genes?
Well, I don't know that we know what all the genes do. There's an article in Discover Magazine. There's an article in Discover Magazine last year about pseudogenes, and they said, folks, they're not pseudogenes. They're backup.
Yep.
They're useful. They're backup. If one's damaged.
Oh, you mean the supposed junk DNA, the quote-unquote junk
right,
DNA.
The article
about
here.
Yeah.
So I don't know that man knows enough about the gene code to say that these are useful and these are not. I think they're all useful. I think the human interpretation of DNA is about like putting a 5-year-old under the hood of your car, saying, take out whatever this thing doesn't mean.
We have a lot more to learn about DNA.
Sure.
Can we return back to the subject at hand?
Okay, so you're saying I lied about the DNA. I don't understand how this is a lie.
We haven't finished yet.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. In your slideshow, you said there's This is from, let's see, get back, reference number two. You were saying it's in, let's see, your old transcripts that you used to have on your website, Samurai Online text/transcripts.
Okay.
I accessed this in year 2001. Oh, sorry, seminar part 4B. So this little slideshow is, this slide, part of your slideshow, was to link in with that part of your seminar. So just to know where you are in your seminar.
Oh, yeah, I know.
DNA is too complex to have arisen by chance. That was one claim. Similarities in code prove a common designer. That was the second claim. Third claim was very little is known about the workings of DNA. That was it. And another claim was the chromosome number does not follow the expected pattern.
Okay, now which of those, are you saying all four of those are lies that I told?
No, just the fourth one.
Just the fourth one.
The chromosome number thing. Okay.
Okay, I think I just demonstrated, I think I'm right and you're wrong. I just demonstrated.
No, you said the number of genes. We now should No. Chromosomes to genes.
Okay, no, I said the chromosome number does not follow the expected evolution pattern. You're saying...
No, there is no expected evolution pattern on chromosome numbers.
But you just told me that the expected gene code count should be
gene code
more...
is different to chromosomes.
I understand. So
we're talking about the difference between houses and suburbs.
I understand.
It can be divided into as many suburbs as you want. It's the number of houses that actually do the work.
Okay. So when I demonstrate to you that the gene code count also does not follow the expected evolutionary pattern, which you yourself...
There is no expected evolutionary pattern on genes.
You just made a prediction that...
I personally, as an ignorant layman, made a prediction off the top of my head based upon the amount of active genes, not the amount of chromosomes.
Okay, so if it turns out that an amoeba has more active genes per cell than a human... Will you admit that that does not follow the expected evolution pattern?
Based upon my knowledge of evolution, yes, but we're not talking about active genes. We're talking about chromosome numbers and your claim about them.
Well, I understand. I understand that you disagree that the chromosomes mean anything. The chromosome number means anything. But
right,
you are saying the active gene count would mean something.
Yes.
I think you're going to be greatly embarrassed when you discover that you're dead wrong about that one also.
Well, I may be dead wrong, but at the moment we're talking about your claim about chromosomes.
Okay. I would say the average person, if when chromosomes were first discovered, every evolutionist on the planet would have predicted at that time that more complex animals should have more chromosomes before even knew the numbers of them.
Poppycock.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, we can go back and research.
Yourself, you admit you are aware of duplication in things like plants.
Like polyploidy, you mean?
Yes. Even you yourself admitted that occurs. So you yourself know that that is known. So you yourself know that the amount of chromosomes is irrelevant.
Well, I don't understand what that has to do with this.
Okay. We'll continue. We've still got more material to cover here. In September 1998, you had a debate with William Moore.
Yes.
And you said, I suspect you're aware that humans have 46 chromosomes, tobacco has 48, and amoebas have 50. And yet the evolution textbooks constantly say we came from an amoeba-like creature. And yet they already have more chromosomes than we do. They're ahead of us, not behind us. Then Moore said, actually, I don't know what species has most chromosomes, but it's certainly not related to phylogenetic progression. I know of no evolutionary biologist that makes that claim. You say, I agree that no evolutionary biologist makes that claim because the data is so against that theory. I've got a chart. Moore says, no, and then... the debate continues from there.
I actually know one biologist who does make that claim and did make the claim in debate number two. Professor Ben Wagner,
Professor Ben Wagner did make that claim. He said that I believe it was horses. He was talking about the horse count and chromosomes compared to that of mules. And
right.
Actually uses,
horses have 64 and mules have 62 or something like that.
He used this in his debate with you.
Okay, I have that.
And that's debate number two, so that is open to the public if they'd love to see that.
Yeah, he's an evolutionary biologist.
Can I just ask, I don't recall him, I can't recall the exact debate off the top of my head, but so he said that because mules have 64? What was he saying? Which one has which?
I think I'm saying the horses have
I'm
two
looking
more
it up
or,
right now, but the point is, I think that, in first place, the whole thing is a spoof. Evolutionists will only use the data that they think supports their theory. What if we lined up animals based on their simple body mass, then the whale is the most evolved? What if we lined them up based upon their longevity, you know? You could make a spoof on evolution based on any number of things about the number of...
apart from Jonathan's claim, which we're not quite sure about, can you name any evolutionist that actually claims this? You're saying that evolution theory should claim this, but no evolution theory does.
I'm pointing out, or trying to point out, that the reason they don't use these things is because they don't fit their theory. Why would you not use simple body mass as... Why don't we line up all the animals in the world based upon body mass, and why would that be evidence for evolution?
No, because body mass varies from population to population. There's no linear relationship between populations.
Wouldn't it stand to reason that the whale is the most evolved animal since it is simply the largest animal on the planet?
No. How do you reach that conclusion? What part of DNA or some sort of inherited characteristics leads you to that conclusion?
Well, I'm pointing out... Another break. Okay, hang on, Carl. Another break.
Okay.
By the way, thank you for being with us. Another break, folks. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. All right, folks. Welcome back to the final segment of the Creation Science Hour. If you want to call in, you have to just hold. We've got Carl Mary Church from Australia on the line, who has the website geocities.com/Kent Hovind. One of the is this the one, Jonathan, that basically a lot of the other atheists and evolutionists quote from?
Carl's website is the mothership for anti-Hovind websites. That is the ultimate resource for anti-Hovind material.
What an honor. You get the mothership of all.
I'll try to clarify something there.
Sure.
As far as I'm aware, not many people actually with other websites quote my website. I bought a lot of other people's material on my website, so the cause and effect is in reverse.
Yours is definitely the most effective, I believe.
Well, that's good.
Well, thank you.
Okay. If you were asked to arrange the animals in the planet in any kind of evolutionary order, which obviously is being done from simple to complex, how is this? What is the criteria for determining that an animal is simple or that an animal is complex? Is it brain power? Is it body size? Is it number of cells? Is it number of genes? How are they divided? Why is an amoeba less complex than a human An amoeba has all the same systems. It has a reproductive system, a digestive system, system of moving around, locomotion system.
Yes.
Why is that considered a simple animal, like a bacteria, when they have the same systems we do on a much smaller scale?
Okay. When biologists refer to simple and complex, they're not referring to how complex it is per se. They're referring to how its body is structured. A simple organism, one-cell organism, probably a misnomer of a word, but it's actually just one cell. As we get into more complex multicellular organisms, you've got specialization of cells working together as basically a community of cells.
I understand.
That is what they refer to as simple and complex.
Okay, so if you were going to arrange animals in order from simple to complex, for instance, the textbooks do teach that bacteria or single-celled organisms evolve first, and then they slowly evolved into more complex animals. That is what the evolution theory teaches.
Right, complex in terms of number of cells and how cells interact.
Okay, if we're going by number of cells, then the whale is still the best because they have the most number of cells. They're huge.
No, it's a repetition of cells.
Yeah.
They've still got a heart. Okay, for example, muscle cells working with, nervous cells.
Sure.
We've got muscle cells working with nervous cells. They've just got more muscle cells working with more nervous cells.
Okay, so
in terms of complexity, for want of a better word, they're no more different than any other mammal.
Okay, so the amoeba, which has all of these, including... We wouldn't call it nervous cells, but it has nerve receptors, and it has the equivalent of muscles able to move. It has it has all of the same things that a whale has, really, in miniature. So why would they think that evolved first when it is actually far more complex? Just like a microchip is, that is like my laptop, costs a lot more than a regular computer simply because everything has to be miniaturized. It ends up costing more.
So the reason is, first of all, first to appear in the... fossil record. Let's not have a debate about the fossil record, but this is what they argue. It is first in the fossil record, or simpler as in terms of number of cells working together as a unit, appear first in the fossil record.
Okay,
that's why it's considered simpler.
Okay, so it was...
Number of cells cooperating with other cells, not whether or not the cell itself is some whiz-bang cell. It's the way it cooperates with other cells.
Okay, would you agree, though, that even a single-celled organism has all the same functions of a multicelled organism, only it's in miniature, so actually it should be more complex.
No, not quite, because a lot of multicelled cells can only survive in the workers' community, where the normal unicellular organism actually has the ability to be self-autonomous.
I know. So
complex organisms have become too specialized sometimes for the cells on their own to survive outside of the organism.
Have become too specialized. Do you see, Carl, where your evolutionary assumption colors your thinking? You know, you start with the assumption it's true, and then you interpret the data in light of your assumption. You know,
well, okay, if you think a muscle cell can survive outside of its own body without any sort of external assistance,
no, I don't believe that, and I didn't say that. But I'm just pointing out that you said that because these cells, you know, they have developed, or whatever word you used, they basically implying they have evolved to be more complex. So it's a circular reasoning you're using. You're starting with the assumption that evolution is true, and then that becomes.
I was responding to your claim that unicellular organisms are somehow less adapted or something than.
No, I was pointing out that it is not correct to say a unicellular organism is simpler. They're actually.
In terms of number of cells cooperating, yes, it is.
But it's
not. That's what they're basing on. They're not basing on the complexity of the individual cell.
Okay. So if you want to base it on number of cells cooperating, the whale is still the most complex.
It really sounds
okay,
like.
Okay, let me clarify my definition then. Number of unique cells cooperating.
Okay, so is
can
it.
Can I put something real quick? It seems like evolutionary theory has so many different flexibilities within it. You can say it's the number of cooperating cells defines the complexity, or you can say it's the number of active genes defines complexity, or you can say it's the number of genes producing proteins that defines complexity. It seems like you can go any direction with evolution,
which is what
Carl's done twice now, going by the number of active genes and also by the number of cooperating cells.
Well, and Charles Darwin...
Why is that a conflict? Surely... specialization of DNA.
You're saying that the number of active genes specifies complexity. Whenever someone attacks that, you can say, "Oh, wait, no, it's the number of cooperating cells." If someone attacks that,
cooperating cells would be need extra genes.
Carl, do you see that you're squirming all over the place on this?
This is like nailing jello to the wall. Okay.
I think we almost ran out of time here. Can we just clarify? Is there any conflict between the number of genes and the specialization of cells?
I don't know. I don't know that the number of genes has ever been compared to the number of specialized cells.
We don't have a conflict. So what am I trying to?
No. I don't know that we have a conflict. I'm saying I don't know. I said I don't know that it's ever been compared. I'm trying to make you understand that animals could be arranged in any number of hundreds of orders.
But which ones actually follow any hereditary pattern?
Well, what if we take the number of offspring? Then probably the termite would be at the top of the pile.
Why on earth would you take number of offspring?
Well, Charles Darwin said, you know, those that leave behind the most offspring are the most evolved. Basically,
you're
words to that effect.
He's not talking about the number of offspring for each species. He's talking about the number within the species.
Now, why would you limit it to that, Carl? Why not just the total number of offspring, period? I mean, seems, don't you? I'm just trying.
There is no.
I know there's.
Unbelievable.
No.
There's no. Okay, when a species is trying to survive, but even you agree that natural selection works and how it works.
Yeah, but
microevolution and put the barrier there. But even you agree, it's only number of organisms within the species that matter. And I think we're about to run out of time.
We are about to run out of time, but this has been great. Okay, what if we arranged all the animals in the world in order according to the number of offspring they produce? Or to try to get you to see, okay? What if we arranged them in order based upon the number of, the size, the height, okay, and put the giraffe at the top? What if we arranged them in order according to the speed and put the cheetah at the top of the pile and the snail at the bottom?
Yes.
You would say, I could make 50 different evolutionary progressions, just like I did with the chromosomes, okay? I could make 50 more based upon arm length to body height ratio, in which case the ape is the best, okay?
Yes. And would that be what the evolutionists are claiming?
No, none of them are claiming that, and none of them would claim that because it doesn't fit the theory. They're only going to pick out the one or two that they think fits their theory and say, see, this is proof. It's pure circular reasoning. The truth of the matter is, what did I say here?
Your animals based upon, et cetera.
You don't get anything similar to what they say happened in evolution.
Yes, right.
That's correct. I arranged the chromosomes in order, and I put penicillin at the bottom and ferns at the top, and that is not evolution. No evolutionist would say penicillin evolved to fruit flies.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's the number of... That's,
and yet you say on your debate with Hugh Ross, and how they believe this, I don't know.
They do believe that animals have evolved from one to the other. Nobody's ever seen a fruit fly produce anything other than a fruit fly. And yet I would suspect that you believe fruit flies not only came from a rock,
No, I don't. We've had this conversation before.
Okay. Well, that is what evolution theory teaches.
No,
okay.
It doesn't. We've had this conversation before as well.
Okay. Well, you need to go read the average textbook then.
I think that actually spawned the article.
I'm an American textbook. Apparently okay. Your textbooks are shocking over there.
Send me an Australian textbook. I'll show it to you in yours.
That actually motivated Carl to write the paper, Six Impossible Things Before Breakfast, I believe. Isn't that right, Carl? Trying to show how our breakfast is also rocked. So you were kind of comparing in agreement, I believe.
Well, first of all, Carl, the whole chromosome number thing was just my little bit of fun. It's a spoof, and it's labeled that clearly at the top, a spoof on evolution. We will start putting together some more spoofs. Let's put together the computational power, the brain capacity of these different creatures.
Yes.
And
no objection to doing that. You can go feel life with that. If you label it a spoof and say, oh, it's a little bit of humor, fine, go with it. But when you claim that that's what evolution theory should claim, or that's what evolution theory would claim if their theory was correct, that's when you're misrepresenting your opponent. And that is when you're lying.
I see. I understand your point. I don't think you get mine, though, that if there were 50 different ways to arrange animals, which I think we could do, based on speed, based upon number of offspring, based upon size, based upon longevity, whatever, okay? If only one of those did fit your theory, that's the one you would jump on, and you would belittle the rest. And I don't understand why you would think that way. That's what I'm trying. It's just a spoof to try to get people like you to see how dumb their theory is, that everything is related, and we all came from some single, you know, from a common ancestor.
Okay, why do you claim that evolutionists actually claim that then, or should claim that?
Do you believe that your ancestors...
Answer my question, please. Why do you claim that your opponent claims that?
My opponents do claim that all life forms share a common ancestor.
Do your opponents claim that chromosome number is connected to it?
No. I've never had anybody claim that, and I don't think I ever said that.
Again, debate number two. You can check that
except
out.
Except for debate number two, which we haven't clarified yet.
It doesn't matter what we say, Carl. You're going to say, well, except for that, which isn't clarified, except for that, which isn't clarified. We could just talk all day.
Like you said, Jonathan, you can't tell me whether or not he was actually claiming evolutionary progression on that.
Do you want the actual duration time or something?
You
seem to put a great amount of work.
He was probably saying that you can have changes in chromosome numbers. Whether or not there's a progression of evolutionary improvement or something like that when that chromosome number changed, we haven't quite clarified if he actually said that yet. Did he say that? Or did he just say that he can change chromosome numbers?
Well, we're running out of time in 1 minute here. Let me do some research and find out if just the pure genetic information, if we define genetic information similar to a book, would you say a 1,000-page manual on how to run a computer would apparently be more complex than a 100-page manual on how to run a computer?
And not necessarily.
Okay, but if we take that as an analogy, if the number of genes, not the number of chromosomes, if the number of genes does not follow any kind of predicted evolutionary pattern, I guarantee it'll make the same silly jumping around that the chromosome chart does, you know, jumping from plant to animal to insect, et cetera, okay?
Yep.
There is no order to it. The chromosome numbers are in correct order, but it certainly is not any order any evolutionist would claim. We'll do the same thing with body size, with the speed, with the weight, with the brain power, with the number of cells, with the longevity.
You can claim this if you want, but it's not what your opponents claim, and you are claiming this is what your opponents are trying to claim.
My opponents claim, and all the textbooks that I have in my library, and your Australian textbooks also claim, that all life forms came from a common ancestor,
mm-hmm.
and that common that original life form came from primordial soup, and that primordial soup came from the oceans, which came from rainstorms on the cooling earth as the rocks cooled down. You do believe you came from a rock, whether you understand it or not.
Whoa. Rocks are silicon-based. Life is carbon-based. You're not even in the same part of the periodic table.
I understand. The rocks are never going to produce life.
No one ever claimed they did. You're the only person I'm aware of that actually ever claimed it. I've never seen it in a textbook. Mind you, I only went through high school science in Australia, and I've only got a fairly good American college-level biology book here, and neither of them claim this.
Well, you need to read carefully what the theory is. If you could trace... Well,
actually, you're talking about abiogenesis now, not evolution everywhere. You've changed definitions of evolution again, but I know what you're trying to say here.
Okay, well, Carl, the very God that created you and I does love you and is willing to accept you based on what Jesus did, not based on anything you've done. And you're going to be dead for a really long time.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm not a Christian?
I don't know. I don't think...
Okay. I don't know. You'd lecture to me anyway.
No, I don't know who is and who isn't. But I know you're going to be dead for a long time. I'll see you in Judgment Day. We're out of time. You can call in again tomorrow. I'd love to have you. Okay, folks, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, Carl. Mary Church, that's an honor. And feel free to call anytime. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.